Hey there, I'm Martin Zender, and I'm appointed by God to talk about the history of the cosmos. How's your day going today? What are you up to today? The history of the cosmos, yeah, big themes, I dare say. What's really weird about that is when I was a kid, I thought I was destined to be a football player. That was my first dream. I was born and raised in Canton, Ohio, the Pro Football Hall of Fame city, and I love to see those pro football players. I played football in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and they used to say of me, how can somebody so fat run so fast? I was scared. That's why I was scared. And so scared people run really fast away from large, mean people. I was a scared, nice person. And so I ran fast from large, mean people. Then I wanted to be a pool player when I grew up. I thought I could. I was too small to play football, turned out. I played it anyway for 3 years in grade school. And then I thought I'd be a professional pool player. And for a while there, I wanted to be an emergency medical technician. That lasted about 6 months. And, you know, at the best laid plans of mice and men, I didn't choose this role for myself. And yet here I am, heralding for the world the end of the times of the futility of humanity with a twist. The twist being that God has graced me, as he has graced you, with a knowledge of the big picture. This is why I'm here, because of the knowledge that the universe does not end in chaos. It does not end in the success of Satan in wrenching part of the kingdom away from God for eternity, retaining souls in his grasp who God was not able to reach. That is not the end of universal history. The end of universal history is a universe brought in loving adoration to the feet of a wise creator and a successful savior. That's the end of this matter. That is documented for us in the Word of God, correctly translated. People make fun of the Word of God. I don't. I honor it. And in it, I have found a plan in words correctly translated and understood that blows out of the water the plan that you hear in organized religion. That's why I'm here, because I'm the assembler, and I've assembled the plan of the eons, the outcome of the universe, the sovereignty of God, and the days and the seasons. I don't know, you know, every single detail of each thing, but I do know the necessary details of each thing, and I am here putting it together for you. Putting it together for you, the truth of the gospel of Israel, the circumcision, comparing that, contrasting it with the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel given through Paul to the rest of the world. What the cross meant not only for Israel, but for all of humanity, not just for all of humanity, but for celestial beings. And we are in the Revelation series. I am opening for you a portal into that celestial world. Wasn't my idea. God took the Apostle John into the third heaven, onto the third earth. He saw the kingdom coming to fruition. He took him into the last days, the last years of Millennium 6. That's where he went. That's where we are now. Where we are now, John already saw. That's how sure this is to happen. I am not on shaky ground. I am on solid ground. I am founded. I am rooted into this truth. And I am humble enough to realize I'm merely a messenger. God makes sure that each of us is humbled. Each member of the body of Christ will not be a proponent of their own flesh or of their own wisdom, but a proponent of the wisdom of God. And flesh and blood has no room to boast in the evangel, in the gospel of the grace of God. And so 2.5 years ago, I realized that we were in the days prophesied of by John in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And I became acquainted with a book called The Unveiling of Jesus Christ by Mr. A.E. Nock that was written in the 1930s. This book had come into anonymity. Hardly anybody knew about it. And I read it and I go, oh my God, there's so many truths coming out here. This is the greatest book ever written. This man has insight into the word due to the fact that he also was the compiler, the translator of the Concordant Literal New Testament. And so the guy has insight due to sound words, sound translating principles, and also the Concordant studies in the book of Daniel. I read this stuff. I said, this stuff, you can't find these books in the bookstore. You can't find these books at Barnes & Noble. These books are not published by HarperCollins San Francisco, the great publisher, Waterbook Press, whatever these great Christian publishers are. They don't care about this stuff because they're into the mainstream cotton candy misguided path. And they're on the well-trodden path. But unfortunately, God's going down the path not so well-trodden. He's going down the path few know and few are on. We find ourselves on it. And so we're getting into it. I'm totally amazed that I'm here, that you're there, that we're talking about this in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the error, in the midst of a religion-soaked world. This is amazing. But listen, God has kept us for this hour. And he has purposed for us to be here, and we are the generation that will not die. We are those people Paul talked about. I explained this to Juliana here yesterday. Just between me and you, this woman, Juliana, who lives here, you know, she's the lady who runs the house here, and she's the one I pay my rent to. She is becoming very, very interested in the things of God and Christ, because she's watching these Brazilian series on First Joseph. The Brazilians apparently are excellent in creating cereals and doing when I was living in Brazil, I noticed that they love their soap operas even more than we love them here in the U.S., and they're really good at it. And so apparently the Brazilians got this itch to do biblical soap operas, and so they did a series on Joseph, and now they're doing a series on Moses. And Juliana is watching this series on Moses, and she's fascinated by it. And so she's starting to ask me questions about it. And so we have long talks right out here, outside this door here, back here, leads from the laundry room to our little brick patio. And I do mean little. But what's happening there is that the light of God is coming down on her. And God's just, you know, using me as a mouthpiece. I'm doing my thing, talking to her, putting it in the most simple terms I possibly can. And I can see light coming because of the questions she's asking. And she now has a copy of The First Idiot in Heaven, and she's reading it. And she said to me the other day, you are making this come alive. I went outside one day and she was reading it. She had two of the red plastic chairs set up. She was sitting in one and she had her feet extended on the other one, and she's laughing. And I'm thinking, good, she's laughing. Hopefully it's at an appropriate part. And she says, my God, this is so funny. I said, what? What? And she said, this part where you're talking about the Tower of Babel, when the languages were confounded, and one guy's asking his co-laborer building this tower for a shovel to lay another brick, but suddenly his co-worker can't understand him, so he's asking for a brick, but to him, suddenly it sounds like, because God is confounding the languages, and so the guy gets hit on the head with a brick. She thought that was so funny. It's kind of like slapstick in a theology book. She's very interested in it. And, and then when Dean Wilkinson was here, listen to this, when Dean Wilkinson was here, Dean and I ordered the Peter and Paul, I think I told you a little bit about this, the Peter and Paul miniseries with Anthony Hopkins, and she's watching that. Yeah, I did tell you about that, and she's like interested in Peter and Paul, and yeah, that's fantastic. It's great. It's great. And I'm starting to talk about we. I said, now, when we are going to remain alive at the end of this time period, I'm starting to include her in the, it's not like starting to say we won't be here when these birth pangs start for Israel. See, this nation is the nation that you're looking at in the movies series. I keep referencing that, right? It's great. Thank you, Brazilians, for making this series. So I keep referencing that. And I say that was the beginning, you know, that was the beginning of the law and of God proving to humanity that the law is impossible to fulfill. And I'm constantly contrasting what's happening with Moses with what's happening with Jesus. And I said, Moses said, there is one coming after me, follow him. I thought that was Jesus. That was Jesus. When Jesus was on earth, he was an Israelite. Okay, yeah. Okay, and it's been great. So, back to the times and the seasons. So, the history of the cosmos reveals planned cycles that proceed in heavenly courses as well as in the earthly realms over thousands of years with unmatched precision. That's right. And the main cycle was the seven. Seven is huge with God. Yesterday I told you about 1 and 6. What does that equal? Or 6 and 1? 6 plus 1 equals 7, which defined the rhythm of the weeks and years and which was already present in the 7 days of creation. Right off the bat, that's one of the important things here, is that God, again, the placement of this truth is very important. It's in the Genesis. Genesis is a generic word. It means the beginning, the starting of something. And in the book of Genesis, we see this cycle headline. Furthermore, through the institution of the Jubilee years, this is another way God used, a clever way, God's very clever, to keep track of time. The seven characterized the course of the feast and the festival times that recurred each year. And as a safeguard, he puts the sabbatical year in there every 7 years as another mark, another tick on the wall, and then to double safeguard the times, to remember the times, every 7 sevens of years, 49 years, the next year was the Jubilee year. And that was the 50th year. 50 is a number of deliverance. It's a number of restoration. And the very word Jubilee connotes happiness. And this is a happy time for Israel. So it's a double check for us with our times. If we think we're 1 or 2 years off in calculating the number of years from Adam to get to the fulfillment of the end of the 6,000 years of man and the beginning of the 7,000th year, the year of rest, the millennium of rest, we have a check, like checks and balances in the government. So it should align with a Jubilee year. What if it does? Oh, be happy and rejoice and be jubilant. Experience a jubilee because it does. It does. As you would expect it to. And here's another consideration. What if the heavens declare God's handiwork? What if there is a constellation in the sky that corresponds to this time? A constellation that has not appeared since the creation of Adam. Wouldn't that be interesting? Yes. I believe it would be interesting. The framework of biblical history, again, became especially visible through the sabbatical year cycles, and we're going to look at those, but also through time bridges spanning centuries and millennia. It's very hard to keep track of time over a period of thousands of years of time. But God made sure we could do it. He didn't necessarily make it easy, but he made sure we could do it. He made sure it could be done. He made sure that there was no lost thread. See, God is good that way. What have I always said? I didn't invent this phrase about closing a door and opening a window, but I have said, that, suggested to you, that God makes something available. When he closes a door, he gives you another way to find something. But you have to, again, put that little extra ounce of effort into it. So when God purposely mistranslates scripture, for instance, and hides the beautiful word Ionian, that gives us a portal into an understanding that God is operating now in periods of time known as eons, he veiled that truth for the surface people by having it mistranslated eternal. Jerome did that. Damn that man, Jerome. Jerome was the one responsible for the first Latin version of the scripture. He's the one that put eternity for aeon, for the Greek word aeon, which should have stayed an eon or a period of time. He said, let's make it eternity. That evil, evil SOB. He's going to answer for that at the Great White Throne. I will be there to oversee his torment. Yes, but he will be saved eventually. Just going to torture him for a little bit just to bring him to a realization of the truth. I'm assuming, of course, that he did it on purpose. It could have been a just, had one beer too many or something. I don't know, but it has screwed everything up. But my point is that God but closes that door on the surface, but then he makes tools available such as concordances, and you can trace the translation. Of course, the King James brought that over from the Vulgate. That's the first Latin version. And the King James is a continuation of the error, and as is every other common English versions, but you get translations like the Concordant Literal New Testament, or Young's Literal Translation, or the Dvar Translation, or even the Greek Diaglot, which is the version used by the, who uses that version? Not the Seventh-day Adventists, but the Jehovah's Witnesses, I think. I'm not promoting Jehovah's Witnesses, but I think they use a version of the scriptures possibly that corrects it. So God always gives you a way to know. There's always a way to know. There's no voids where you can fall in, no, and disappear forever. If you want to know, God lets you know. So he has carefully documented the years. It's not easy. You have to want it. You have to be a bit of a mathematician brain. That's why I'm not. That's not why I'm not. But the reason that I'm not is the reason that I can't do original research into this topic. But I can sure be a communicator. I can get on a microphone in the year 2017 AD, which that's not the year. That's not how I'm calculating years anymore. I'm not calculating years AD. I'm counting them FA. I know where we are FA, according to smart math people who are also reverencing the Word of God and have put this together. I'm a man with a voice by the grace of God. I have a microphone. I'm in the era of YouTube. I can't help it. I don't have 100,000 views on every show. That's not my job, is it? I mean, I don't know how to promote anything. I just do the work. I put it on. And it's amazing that we have this outlet, that I have this outlet, and we're on here. We're on here. We're doing this. And God help the people to find this who are meant to find it. So that it really is, I think, an impetus. It really is a reason to grasp onto the truth when you realize the times and you realize that time is late. How many of you, when you were in school, when you were in college, you waited the last minute to do a term paper, right? The paper's due and you wait and wait and wait. Then the night before you pull an all-nighter, you go crazy. You drink three pots of coffee. I'm the same way. It's human nature. You wait until a deadline and then bang, all of a sudden you're inspired because you have to do it. I think that a knowledge of the times, of where we are on the FA calendar, I think that will really be a spark, a catalyst for certain kinds of people to now come and say, what is it you guys are talking about? Quick, give me the Evangel Paul. What is it? Great, I have no problem with that. If that's what it takes, sure, great. Impending doom, 7 years impending doom, that's your motivation? Okay, fine. God put that little motivation in place, not me. I'm good with it. Send people you know to this particular show, to this channel. Send them to the film I made, Fake Jesus. Get a copy of The First Idiot in Heaven. Again, write Charles Rutsch, Charles Rutsch at gmail.com. He's a friend of mine. Write him, drop him an email today, right now, and say, I need to buy some of Martin Zender's book, The First Idiot in Heaven, because he has them, and he has like 1,000 of them left. And he's charging $1 for them. $1, that's it. Ask him for 10 of them for 10 bucks. You'll have to pay shipping probably. Get the information out there. We are in the final years and thus the final days of Millennium 6. Interesting? Yeah.